praise God for each and every one of you. So good to see each of you today. How's God treating you? Yeah? It's awesome. Well, give an honor to God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who I owe everything to, and to your wonderful pastor, Pastor Steph. You all have one of the best pastors in the Northeast, matter of fact, in the state of Minnesota. Could y'all put your hands together? Pastor Steph, a dear friend of mine, and it's so good to be here and honor each and every one of you. So great to be here to hang out with you today. Now, listen here. A couple of rules. Pulpit swap, so I'm taking over for the next 25 minutes. I'm a black preacher. Which means you got to help me preach. I need that. Thank you. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Y'all got to get into it, okay? I'm not into that quiet church stuff. You got to open your mouth and praise the Lord. You got to say hallelujah, amen, amen, amen. Hey, come on now. Y'all got to put on your preacher voice. You got to tune up in A flat. Yeah, we're going to have a good time. Y'all ready? Y'all ready for a good time? Let me hear you say yeah. Hey, all right. Listen, we're going to continue your series that Pastor Steph started, Apprenticing Jesus. Apprenticing Jesus. So let's look to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll dig into some scripture. Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you fall fresh on us? Father, we need your strength, your guidance, your direction. So, Lord, would you fill this space right now? Would you move from heart to heart and soul to soul? Would you renew your right spirit in us? And God, would you give us guidance and direction for our lives today? Help us to hear from you exactly what we need to hear, what we've been going through all week. Would you tune the message to our station and let it help us right where we are? It's in the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, would you open them up or turn them on to the Gospel of Luke? The Gospel of Luke will be in the 14th chapter of that book. Gospel of Luke, chapter 14. I'll start at the first verse. I'll be reading from the ESV version of the scriptures, but whatever version of the scripture you have is a good version. Glad you got a Bible. Verse number one, one Sabbath, when he went to dine at the house of a ruler of the Pharisees, they were watching him carefully. And behold, there was a man before him who had dropsy. And Jesus responded to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" But they remained silent. Then he took him and healed him, and sent him away. And he said to them, "Which of you, having a son or an ox that has fallen into a well on a Sabbath day, will not immediately pull him out?" And they could not reply to these things. As we continue in your series, Apprenticing Jesus, I want us to apprentice Jesus in love. One phrase that I try to weave into my daughter's life is this phrase, leave it better than you found it. Anybody ever told you to leave it better than you found it? When we have these big conversations about what's going on in the world and the challenges and the conflicts in this world, I say, baby, whatever you do and how you get involved and whatever you study in college, just make sure you leave this world better than you found it. When we talk about the church and we drive up to the church and sometimes, you know, we let people use our parking lot and there's a bar right across the street. So sometimes there's some cans and there's some trash on the church parking lot. And she might ask, why is it so much trash? I said, don't worry about that, baby. Just make sure you leave it better than you found it. When she wakes up in the morning and getting ready to go to school, and she goes into that bathroom and then goes back into her room to get dressed, I take a peek in there and I say, baby, you might want to come back and leave it better than you found it. You see, to leave things better than you found them takes awareness. It takes effort. And it takes love. You know why it takes love? Because it takes love to consider the person who's coming behind you to use whatever you left behind. It's not just the bathroom, but it's your job that you're working right now. Guess what? You're not going to be in that job forever. You're not going to be on this planet forever. Sorry, newsflash, everybody in here is going to die. I'm sorry to be the one to have to break it to you like this, but we need to have a talk. When we need to get involved in this world, but we need to do better. We need to do better than our predecessors. We need to leave everything we touch better than we found it. And that requires love. Therefore, we need to apprentice Jesus in love, because watch this, love is the key to apprenticing Jesus. Luke reminds us that Jesus is the Lord of love. Amen. He is the Lord of love, and his love stretches beyond any barrier that we can erect. His love stretches above or beneath or around or through any barrier that somebody else might put in front of us to block us from the love of Jesus. Amen. His love stretches beyond what we can imagine. Jesus came to show us what love looks like in public. And if we apprentice Jesus in love, we will be better than how Jesus found us. And if we engage this world in love, we will leave the world better than we found it. Such is the story we find in today's scriptures about love. Jesus was invited to dinner at the home of a ruler of the Pharisees. All right, I see that didn't strike you. Y'all looking at me like, so? I mean, he was invited to dinner. So what? He was invited to dinner by a ruler of the Pharisees. Maybe I should put emphasis on certain words. You get it. A ruler of the Pharisees, that might not mean much to you, but if you want to understand this text, that is incredibly significant to understanding what God has for us in this passage of Scripture. A ruler of the Pharisees. This guy was probably one of the members of the Sanhedrin Council. This guy had authority in the temple. This guy was the one who told the other Pharisees what to do and gave them instruction. And if you didn't know, take a cursory look through the book of Luke, you'll see that the Pharisees and Jesus always had some beef. I'm sorry, let me translate. Maybe you don't know what beef is. They had some unresolved conflict. Luke chapter 6 tells us a story about Jesus walking through the grain fields with his disciples. And as they walked on the Sabbath day, they got hungry. And so they picked the grain and they started rubbing it between the hands so that they could eat on their way to temple. And the Pharisees had nothing better to do that day but to spy on them. They had the binoculars out and everything. That's not in the Bible. That's not in the Bible. But I can just imagine. They look in like, ooh, Jesus, I'm going to tell on you. Y'all are doing work on the Sabbath day. Shame on you, Jesus. You and your disciples. Fast forward down. That same chapter, Luke chapter number 6, you see that Jesus is in the temple and he sees a man on the Sabbath day with a shriveled up hand. And he tells the man, stretch your hand out. And he healed the man on the Sabbath day. And the Pharisees are furious. Jesus, you're not supposed to be doing work on the Sabbath day. We are upset with you, Jesus. Fast forward a little bit to Luke chapter number 13. You see, Jesus is in temple on the Sabbath day, and there is a woman who comes in hunched over. Her back is bent over, and Jesus touches her and straightens her out. He heals this woman on the Sabbath day, and the Pharisees are livid. How could you do this, Jesus? Why do you keep healing people on the Sabbath day? That is considered work. Why are you working on the Sabbath day, Jesus? Don't you know who we are? We are the Pharisees. We make the rules. We are in charge. We know more about the Bible than anybody. So that means we need to make the rules. Y'all know any people like that? Full head full of knowledge, but yet no common sense. They are the ones who make the rules, Jesus. And you are not obeying our rules. You are not, you are disregarding our rules. You are disregarding our authority. You are breaking our laws. One commentary that I was reading in preparation for this message stated, one of the traditions of the Pharisees was so strict about the Sabbath day that it stated, if an animal or a child is injured on the Sabbath day, you wait until the next day to help them. What? Y'all crazy? What? Really? You're that strict about no work on the Sabbath day that I can't even help my child who's fallen and can't get up? Ladies and gentlemen, it's important for us to know the Bible for ourselves. It's important for us to read and research the scriptures for ourselves and not just rely on what someone else says about the Bible. You don't need to just rely on secondary information or secondhand information. Listen, everything I say today, research it for yourself. Anything any preacher tells you, anything anybody from YouTube or your TV or your radio station, don't just believe what people tell you about Jesus and tell you about his word. Look it up for yourself. Because people twist. They twist just enough to take care of their agenda. They twist just enough to get you to vote for their political party. They twist just enough. Oh, toes, boy. Got to bring my steel-toed boots to church. They twist just enough to get that money out of your pocket. They twist just enough to get you to do whatever they say. Because they want to stay in power. They want the prestige. They want the profits. And they will twist God's word to do it. We need to read the Bible for ourselves. And if you want to read the Bible for yourself, if you want to investigate, you should be asking some questions about this text. Like, why are these Pharisees so adamant about working on the Sabbath? What is it that God said about the Sabbath that makes them so rigid? Well, if you want to learn anything about what God's original intent is for any subject, you go to the place of first mention. All right, do a little theology in here. You go to the place of first mention. So where is Sabbath or resting on the seventh day first mentioned in the scriptures? Genesis chapter number two, right? Verses 1-3, it says, God created everything in 6 days. And on the seventh day, he rested. I'm about to get kicked out. Ramon, lock the door, man. Help me out. The Sabbath wasn't created for you. They're coming. Did you read it for yourself? The Sabbath was created for God. On the seventh day, he rested, not Adam and Eve. On the seventh day, he took a break from his work. Amen. That's the original intent of the Sabbath day. It's not until Exodus chapter number 16 where we see Moses traveling with the children of Israel in the wilderness, and they're walking in circles because they can't find their way. And Moses tells them, hey, y'all, listen, pack up enough food on the sixth day so we don't have to work so hard on the seventh. Read it for yourself. It's not until Exodus chapter number 20 where God actually gives Moses the top 10. Right? The Ten Commandments. And then God puts in those Ten Commandments to keep the Sabbath day holy. That's when we get Sabbath day for humans. It wasn't God's original intent, but God saw that the people of Israel were, watch this, they were exploited. Their labors were exploited. They were enslaved in Egypt. And they didn't know any better on how to take a break. And some of y'all here don't know how to take a break. Let me tell you something right now. Take a day off. Rest. So you can last a little bit longer. So Exodus chapter 20, he says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. But over time, the traditions of humans, actually, let me just say, traditions of man. Women, I can't blame y'all for this. This is men. We the problem. Men corrupting the word of God by implementing their rules so people can look at me. Pay attention to me. I'm in charge. As we read the Gospel of Luke, we see that the conflict between Jesus and the Pharisees is well established. We see that the conflict between love and law is well established. Because their traditions were being challenged, the Pharisees wanted to eliminate Jesus. Right? He was very influential. So watch this. People, if he's not obeying our rules, then the people who follow him is not going to obey our rules. And if he gets any more popular, nobody's going to obey our rules. We're going to lose this prophet. We got a good hustle going on. But watch this. Jesus goes to the house anyway. Isn't that what the story is all about? The first verse that we just read, Jesus is invited to this house of the chief of the Pharisees for dinner. And he goes anyway. He goes to a place where he knows his enemies are located. He goes to a place where he knows the people don't like him. He goes to a place where he knows the people are talking behind his back. He goes to a place where he knows he's not the most liked. Would you accept an invitation to dinner from your enemy? Alone? How many people would accept that invitation? Yeah. Nobody? Jesus is supposed to be our example. You don't know what they're going to bake into that hot dish. You don't know what they're putting in their lemonade. Listen. But Jesus goes anyway. It's interesting that they invited him alone. They didn't put an invitation out to his friends, his boys, his crew, his backup. No, we just want you, Jesus, to come. You see, it's just Jesus. They definitely didn't invite Simon Peter. Simon Peter, keep that thing on him. He who has an ear, I will remove it. Peter ain't playing no games, right? Peter like, I wish a Pharisee would. No, they invited Jesus alone. So in today's passage of scripture, Jesus, he shows us how to walk in love even in the midst of conflict. How many of you have conflict today? How many of you have a relationship where you are in conflict? You have a marriage that has some tension. You have a child that you have some tension. You have an argument. You got a family member who voted a different way. You can't see eye to eye. You got people in your neighborhood that you have conflict with. That person across the street that just won't cut their grass. You got conflict with my next door neighbor who keeps allowing their dog to come in my yard and leave tightly coiled gifts on my front lawn. We got conflict. We all have conflict in our lives. And Jesus shows us that he is the Lord of love. So what does love do in conflict? Love moves toward conflict, never away. See, oftentimes we like to sweep things under the rug. John Wimber, the founder of the Vineyard Movement, said, if you keep sweeping things under the rug, eventually you're going to trip over it. We got to uncover those conflicts. We got to pull those things out. We have to address our conflicts head on. And I know that that's a cultural challenge in Minnesota. I know we don't like to confront our conflict, but the only way we're going to survive in this world and become people of peace is if we address our conflicts head on. We stop pushing things till later and allow the Spirit to speak to us. To impact people. Watch this, because anytime you don't address something going on in the body, it turns into cancer and it will eventually kill you. Conflict is the same way. So listen, love moves toward conflict, not away. And God is a God of love. Jesus is the Lord of love. And he wants us to reflect that. Amen. He wants us to be just like him. Amen. Love is his greatest characteristic. But I know what you're saying. Gary, you don't understand. You don't know nothing about my family. When they come to dinner, I'm trying to get them out. I don't even go over their house anymore, right? You don't know what I'm going through, Gary. You don't listen. That person, I don't have that feeling about that person anymore. I don't have that emotion for that person anymore. I never had that emotion about that person over there, right? Right. So listen. I can't do all of this love stuff because I don't feel it. Well, I'm so glad you came to church today because watch this. Love is not a feeling. Love is not an emotion. Love is a decision. I choose to love the Lord my God with all my heart, my soul, and my mind. I choose to love my neighbor as myself. God ain't said I had to like him. There's nowhere in the text. But you have to love them. Dr. Tony Evans defines love this way. Love is the decision to compassionately, righteously, responsibly, and sacrificially meet the need or seek the good of someone else. How can we be people of love? How can we learn to love like Jesus? I'm glad y'all asked that question. Because right here in the text, he gives us 3 points, 3 ways that for us to look at love. Y'all ready? Yep. Told y'all got to talk back to me now. Y'all ready? Yeah. Here we go. Jesus says that love sees, love heals, and love frees. Love sees. Verse number 2 says, and behold, there was a man before him who had dropsy. Dropsy. Dropsy sounds like some of our wide receivers on the Vikings. We need some help. Dropsy. Somebody drop something right there. Something come right on time. Dropsy. What in the world is dropsy? Have you ever gone to the doctor and they said, you got dropsy? Am I about to fall out? What do I drop? I think I have pretty good dexterity. Jesus, what am I dropping? Dropsy, for the doctors in the room who are laughing at me, is current day edema. It is the swelling of the limbs. It is the retention of fluid, primarily in your arms and your legs. You see people whose arms and legs are tight, right, and heavy as they walk, right? It is retention, fluid retention. And when Jesus goes to this gathering, he sees the man with fluid retention. Because love sees. Where do you sit when you go to a gathering? Where do you stand when you go to a party? Where do you choose to sit when you come into the house of worship? Where do you go as soon as they say, amen? Are you the first one out the door? Well, Jesus says love sees someone who's in need. You got to take time to do that. He comes into the party to see, who can I help today? Listen, let me give you a quick piece of advice. Take an inventory of your life and look at your skills. What are you strongest at? What do you do well? Just take a moment sometime today or tomorrow and just write down your top three skills or your top three gifts or the top three things you do well. And then let the Holy Spirit lead you to a person who could use what you can offer. That, my friends, is love. Love sees. But love doesn't only see. Love heals. Look at this verse. Well, before I get to that verse, let me tell you this, that this is a private party. This is invitation only. You see that right in the text. I'm not making this stuff up. Invitation only. Jesus gets one of these invitations. One commentary that I read said that dinner at the chief Pharisee's house was invitation only. He would only invite people of influence who would boost his social status in the community. So more than likely, this man with dropsy was a high-ranking person. He had some type of influence. This man with dropsy probably was wealthy. He had something going on in his life that would enhance the credibility of the Pharisee. And so, yeah, I want that guy at my party. Even though the man with dropsy is siding with this group of people who is against Jesus, that doesn't stop Jesus from touching him. It didn't matter who he voted for in the last election. It didn't stop Jesus from coming into his life. It didn't matter what side of the tracks he grew up on. It didn't stop Jesus from stepping and making an impact in his life. It didn't matter what color his skin was or what neighborhood he belonged to or what he frequented on the weekends. It didn't stop Jesus from getting into his life. And you and I are supposed to reflect the life of Jesus, ladies and gentlemen. There's no person on this planet that we should be avoiding. I don't care who they are. I don't care if you don't like them, if that person on the news is running for president. I don't care. There's nobody that you should be thinking ill of. As a matter of fact, Jesus tells us to pray for our enemies. Oh, we don't like that kind of preaching. Let me get back to the script before y'all throw me out. All right, here we go. Verse number 4 said, then he, Jesus, took him and healed him and sent him away. He took him, he healed him, and he sent him away. He took him, he healed him, and he sent him away. The Greek word for he took him and he healed him is epilimbotomai. It is a word that means to take possession of or to rescue one from peril. What are you suffering from today, ladies and gentlemen? What are you challenged with today? What conflict or challenge are you facing right now? What's going on in your body that you need help with? What do you need healing from? What do you need to be delivered from? What are you involved in right now? What substances can't you let go of? What is it that you're holding on to that you need to let go of, but it's so hard? What is it that Jesus has called you to and ordained you for, yet you won't step out into? What is holding you back from being all that God has called you to be? Jesus said, I don't care who's watching. I don't care who's in the room. I don't care about their opinion. I came to touch you. Folks, whatever you came in with, whatever burden is holding you back, whatever is on your shoulders right now, making it hard for you to walk through this life, Jesus said, leave it right here at the altar, because I came to bring healing to you right now. You don't have to leave with the same burden you came in with, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. This is your day. Jesus is here right now for you. Amen. Do you believe it? Will you be honest and real with him? Will you leave it at the altar and walk away and don't come back and pick that thing up anymore? That addiction you're wrestling with, that substance that you're wrestling with, the abusive relationship you're in, let it go. Walk away. I don't know who I'm preaching to, but you need to let it go. Don't worry about what other people think. Don't matter about who's in the room. Don't worry about, you got to just let it go. It doesn't matter who you are, what you're going through, or how many times you've fallen into that pit. Jesus is willing and able to lay his hand upon you and heal you today. But not only does love heal, not only does love see, love frees. Jesus directed this next question directly to the Pharisees. In verse number 5, Jesus said, which one of you, having a son or an ox that has fallen into a well on a Sabbath day, will not immediately pull him out? Which one of you has a child or an animal, some possession that falls into a pit and it's on a Sabbath day and you said, I'm gonna come back tomorrow? Which one of you is more obedient to the law than you are to love? Because if I've got an animal, if I've got my child, and my animal, my child is in trouble, I don't care about a law. I care about my child. I am going to lead with love. That is what Jesus is getting at. Are you going to lead with love or not? Elder Ramon, this blessed my life, man. When I read the rest of this, I read it like maybe 50 times. On like the 50th time, man, I wish I was Simone Biles. Because I would have, let me tell you something, in my heart, in my soul, my spirit, I jumped up and did one of them flippity floppities. When I saw this, man, my heart just leaped. Because he said, watch this, which one of you having a son or an ox that has fallen into a well on the Sabbath day will not immediately pull them out? Now, what blessed my soul was this. It's not just digging into the etymology, the Greek etymology. It is digging into the geography. Because when you read this passage of scripture and you do some research, you understand that nobody in that day had a well on their property. You had to go to the well to get your water. You had to go to the well in the morning and go and get your water and take it back to your home. So what that means is that your child or your animal strayed away and found themselves in a situation that they couldn't get themselves out of. And you being a loving parent, you being a loving owner, whatever it is, you will spare no expense to go and get them out if you lead with love. I will put myself in harm's way. I will put myself in position. I will put myself, allow them to put me in jail if my child is in danger. There's no law that's going to stop me from helping my child because I lead with love. Jesus Christ is so beautiful because he says, no matter what the law says, no matter how you or what you've been through, no matter what your child is involved with, you will serve as a savior and go and get them out. But does that sound familiar to you? Because one day you were the one who strayed away. You were the one who walked away. You were the one who fell into the pit. You were the one that Jesus saw from his throne in glory. He looked down and saw you were sinking deep in sin. And he said, I got to go on a rescue mission. I'm going down to earth and putting on clothes called flesh. And I'm going to die on the cross for their sins. I'm going to take on the sins of the world so you could be free. So you could be rescued. So you could have another chance. Worship team, y'all can come on up here. But Jesus Christ wants us to learn to lead with love no matter what. Because if we learn to lead with love like he did, watch this. We will leave this world in better condition than we found it. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your word. We thank you for leading us in love and loving us so much that we could never even escape your love. God, we just pray that you would rest on us well today, that you would allow this word to penetrate our souls and to grow, God, into a mighty tree that everybody who sees us sees the love of Jesus. Every person who takes a piece of fruit from our lips or fruit from our hands, God, would experience the love of Jesus Christ. Help us where we're falling short, God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.